John chapter number 16. John chapter 16, and I'm going to read from verse number 12 through to verse number 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Shall we pray, church? Of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to go in through your word this morning. Lord, we ask that you speak to us. You speak to us individually. You speak to us collectively as a church. Let your word make impact in our hearts this morning. Let it bring the transformation. Let it bring an illumination, especially as we continue to share about this wonderful third person of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, there is going to be a new revelation that will dawn on us. So that, Lord, we're not just going to be treating the person of the Holy Spirit and the subject of his role and responsibilities and activities in our lives as some kind of nebulous, highfalutin subject. But, Lord, that we'll be able to connect it to it in a practical way in order to benefit our lives and your ministry. Lord, I ask for an anointing upon me to be able to declare your word. Let it be simple, let it be clear, let it be delivered in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let the hearer and the speaker be blessed by the reason of your word this morning. Thank you because you're going to do this and much more. Because we have asked in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. This is about the third installment of the series that we started a couple of weeks ago that we've titled The Advantage. The Advantage, Living Beyond Yourself. And if you've been tracking with us, we've come to conclude that the Holy Spirit is given to us to give us an advantage in life and in ministry. The Holy Spirit is given to us to give us an advantage in life and in ministry. I actually want us to chorus that. I'm going to lead you to say something, and I just want you to say it out loud. Out loud means the person next to you is able to hear it. And I want you to also hear yourself as you are saying it, because the purpose of saying it is because I want it to be ingrained in your heart. Are we ready? All right. The Holy Spirit is given to me to give me an advantage in life and in ministry. All right, we'll go one more time. The Holy Spirit is given to me to give me an advantage in life and in ministry. I just pray that the Lord will echo this statement again and again in your heart so that you will know exactly why the person of the Holy Spirit has been given to the church in general, and specifically to you as a person, is given to you to give you an advantage in life and in ministry. In the weeks past, we talked about the fact that to be at an advantage means to be specially or favorably positioned. You are favorably positioned or favorably placed to succeed, to excel, you know, to achieve. That's what it means to be at an advantage. The Holy Spirit is better, or rather, the Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus beside you. Now, before you start asking, why did you say that? Those are not my words. Those are Jesus' words. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away, so that when I go, I will be able to send you the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit, I'm paraphrasing now, is going to live in you. Jesus was always with his disciples. There are instances when he will be away from his disciples, maybe to do ministry, to pray and all of those. But he said, it is better that I go so that he can come. So the Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus beside you. He actually had to go in order to send him to you. And the Holy Spirit came at the instance of Jesus, all right? So there is no competition whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if you're going to see in a short while, when Jesus said, he's going to reveal that which belongs to me. He's going to take that which belongs to me, and then he's going to reveal it to you. So it's not a competition. Jesus left and then sent the Holy Spirit. Now, the person of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to, if there is anything I want you to take out of this message today and the entire series, it is to begin to see this person of the Holy Spirit as a real person and not some kind of, you know, powers or mystical, you know, phenomenon, some nebulous, you know, powers somewhere that is kind of exoteric and far removed from us. No, the person of the Holy Spirit is here with us to help us, to give us an advantage in life. And I really hope and trust that the Lord is going to let you get a grab of this much more than anything. The Holy Spirit has a responsibility or has a ministry that cuts across various jurisdictions, various domains, if you like, various realms. He has a responsibility that cuts across various jurisdictions, various realms and various, you know, domains. What I mean by that is this. The Holy Spirit has a responsibility that he fulfills to the world. He has a responsibility that he fulfills to believers, and he has a responsibility that he performs for Jesus. This is what the Bible says, the passage we have just read. The Holy Spirit has a responsibility that he fulfills to the world. What does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit actually convicts the world. That's his job. Last week we talked about the job description. He convicts the world, all right, of what? Sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Okay, some people actually got it. So, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's fantastic. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world. But the Holy Spirit also has a specific responsibility to fulfill to believers. And that's the passage we read this morning. Let's turn to the place again. John chapter number 16 and verse number 12. It says this. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. All right. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world. The Holy Spirit guides believers. But there's one more job or one more function in that passage that we read. And it says in verse number 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. Who is the me there? Say it loud. Jesus. He will glorify Jesus, for he will declare, he will take of what is mine of Jesus and declare it to you. So we understand and we have established those three jurisdictions and realms now. World, the believer, and Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts the world. The Holy Spirit, what's it now? The Holy Spirit convicts the world. The Holy Spirit guides believers. And then the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. Okay? The Holy Spirit convicts the world. He guides believers. And he glorifies or honors Jesus. Now, and he says, so let's just hone down on the second, since we have already dealt with the first. It convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. If you missed the message last week, please catch up with it. It's on our website, YouTube, Facebook page. So let's just hone down on the second, which is the responsibility of what the Holy Spirit fulfills to believers. The Holy Spirit guides believers. And that's why today, by the grace of God, I want to share with you a message I've titled, Guided by the Spirit. Guided by the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit guides believers. Now, before we delve straight into it, can I just say, just in passing, that It does not mean that the Holy Spirit does not convict believers. Of course, if we fall into sin, you know, gossip, lies, malice, and theft, and the rest of that, he convicts of those sins, right? But the conviction of sin for the unbelievers that he mentioned, or to the world rather, that he mentioned in verse number 9, is a conviction of a specific sin, of a specific sin. In verse in the same chapter, in verse number 9, it talks about him convicting the world of a specific sin. What's that sin? The sin of what? Not believing in Jesus, or the rejection of Jesus. All right? So I just wanted to clear that the Holy Spirit still works to convict us. When you say the wrong things, the Holy Spirit convicts you. Oh, you have done the wrong. And what does it mean? We said it last week. To convict means you're going to put up, you know, a kind of evidence upon evidence. And then he's going to stack it up, and then you're going to come to a point where you are able to recognize, Lord, I've done wrong. I'm guilty as charged. I am sorry. All right? So, but specifically, the one we want to deal with today is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world, and then the Holy Spirit guides believers. The Holy Spirit guides believers. Now, a bit of a background. Remember, at this point in time, Jesus is just a few hours away from being crucified. He's just hours away from being crucified. They are going to hang him. They are going to judge him. They are going to actually organize a kangaroo kind of, a hearing for him on 2-3 occasions, and so that he's going to get crucified. And so he said, look, I'm going away. In verse number 12, he says specifically to them, John chapter 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I can just sense this Jesus speaking to his disciples and say, I actually want to tell you a lot of things. I want to show you a lot of things. But unfortunately, you can't handle them. You can't carry them. That word translated, you know, bear means to carry, to be able to handle, to be able to lift. You can't deal with them now. And so, don't worry. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to take up. He's going to deal with the rest of things that I wish I was able to tell you, but you can't handle them now. You know, and then in the later time, you're going to see, and that's what you find in the epistles, that Jesus now revealed to his disciples or to his followers, through the Holy Spirit, things like righteousness by faith alone, justification by substitution, you know, the weapons of our warfare. We just covered that in our Bible study, you know, things like being led by the Spirit. Do you know that, you know, as at the time Jesus actually left, there were certain things that the disciples did not actually fully understand. For instance, when they were going to choose about the person that was going to replace Judas, you know, Judas actually, you know, betrayed Jesus and he went higher to hang himself. And now there were 11, you know, disciples or apostles, as the case may be, and they wanted to replace Judas. All right? Do you know what they did? They prayed, and then they had to cast lots. All right? They have to cast lots. The easiest way I can explain that is like you are trying to make a choice and you are saying, mini, 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 money, more. That kind of a thing. That's how they actually had to choose, you know, the person that was going to replace Judas. All right? But by the time you get to Acts chapter number 19, at this point in time, the disciples have matured, as it were. They have been taught by the Holy Spirit that you don't do many, many, many more in this kingdom, all right? You are led by the Spirit. The Bible says after they have prayed, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry, all right? So there has been a progression. I'm just trying to establish to you that Jesus actually fulfilled his purpose. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. He's going to teach you many things. You know, justification by faith, the weapons of your warfare, you know, justification by substitution, righteousness by faith. He's going to teach you all of those things. And that's why you have all of the epistles, the things that are revealed in the epistles by Paul and other writers, the book of Hebrews. And those ones are the revelation of the Holy Spirit that came that they couldn't handle. Many of them in the rudimentary stage, shown to them. Jesus spoke to some of those subjects, but they didn't fully grasp it. And Jesus said, I'm going to go. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. This person that I'm going to send is going to really help you. He's going to really help you, and he's going to put you at an advantage in life. So the Holy Spirit is to help the believers, is to guide them. You know, verse number 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. So the word guide means to provide guidance, to lead, to show the way, you know. And it's also called the Spirit of truth. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you into all truth. Just stay with me, because there is a place we're going, and I don't want to lose you until we get there, because that's, I believe that is going to actually help you. The purpose of teaching, you know, this particular subject is not so that you can increase your knowledge, your head knowledge about the person of the Holy Spirit, you know, although that's good, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is actually to be able to gain something from this teaching to apply to your life. So that when you leave this place, there is going to be a relevance of what you have learned, you know, in the operation of your life. Okay? So that's the purpose. So please stay with me. Now, talking about guidance, you know, the Holy Spirit has come to guide you and I and to guide us into all truth, the Bible says. Suppose you found yourself, you know, in the Amazon rainforest. I don't know how you got there, but just suppose you found yourself in there, you know. By the way, this is the largest, you know, forest in the world, and it spans like, you know, 5.5 million square kilometers. You know, that's how big it is, you know, covering countries, part is shared, part of the countries like Brazil, like Peru, like Colombia. Very big, very massive, you know, forest. Suppose you found yourself there. Like I said, I don't know how you got there. Maybe you were driving your plane and then developed some fault and you were able to land it, and for whatever reason you found yourself there. Now, and you were there and you were now given the option, three options. You were given the options of something that will head you out so that you can get out of that forest and be able to get into the, you know, to the outside world, so to speak. You were given the option of a compass, and pay attention, a compass. Number two, you're given the option of the map of the Amazon jungle, the Amazon forest, and then you're given the option of, you know, having a local guide, a local person who is experienced to guide you through the forest. Which one are you going to choose? All right. Somebody says the compass. All right. Let's start with that. You know, there was this game that we played. This was years ago. I think it was this guy that will, Man and the Wild. So Man and the Wild, I can't remember his name now, Bear something, you know. And then he will give you an option when he's in the wild. Do I go through the mountain path, or do I go through the water? And then you will choose. And then depending on where you choose, it will determine whether he's going to survive or otherwise. And then we play that game together with my family, and sometimes some of us will say, oh, let him go through the mountain. And then some people will say, let him go through the riverside. And then you press, click, riverside, and then the guy drowns, you know. So it's a nice game. So this guy, no, drowns in the movie, not in real life, okay? All right. So that you don't accuse me of being excited that someone got drowned. Now, so a compass. In the Amazon jungle, what is going to tell you? It's just going to tell you north, east, west, south, south, southeast, southwest. That's not going to help you. You're still going to be in the jungle. All right? Okay. Somebody say, okay, let's try the map of the Amazon forest. The map of the Amazon forest is going to help a little bit, but not a great deal. It's going to tell you maybe the road, if there are roads there. It's going to tell you the footpath. It's going to tell you some settlements around. But what it won't tell you is that if you go to that settlement, that the settlement is actually being inhabited by cannibals and they are looking for their next meal. No, it's not going to tell you. The map is not going to tell you that, right? It's going to show you the river, but what it's not going to tell you is that you can't go and drink in that river because it's infested. It's a crocodile-infested river. The map is not going to tell you, all right? So that means the compass people, unfortunately, you are not making it out of the forest. The map people, you are not making it out. The one that you're going to get out of, if you're going to get out of this forest, is to actually go with a guide, an experienced person who knows the terrain very well, who is going to be able to help you to navigate through that. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. All right? The world that we are in, and the kingdom into which we have been brought, is so vast, is so big, is so massive. There is no way you will be able to make it out well without the guidance of the Holy Spirit in a good way. All right? And that's why he has been given to us. He's been given to us as a guide. All right? When Jesus was speaking to these people, you remember that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, primarily his disciples, by extension to us. All right? But specifically, primarily, he was speaking to his disciples. They understood exactly what he meant by a guide. You know, in the ancient world, you know, traveling was very dangerous because of, you know, bandits and thieves that are around. So there are certain areas you can't go. And so the concept and the phenomenon of having a guide was not foreign to them at all. So they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, that they needed a guide. So I'm going to send him to you, and he's going to guide you. He's going to guide you. But you know what he says? He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. All right? He didn't say he's going to guide you out of something. He said he's going to guide you into something. All right? John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. And look at verse number 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. All right. He says he's going to, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he calls him the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Why is that important? There is the truth regarding everything in life. Every subject has the truth attached to it. Every situation has the truth regarding it. It is the duty of the Holy Spirit to guide you into that truth. There is the truth, for instance, there is the truth about God. There is the truth about your life purpose. There is the truth about your marriage. There is the truth about your experience. The job and the duty of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into that truth. There is the truth about money, about finances. The job of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into the truth. There is the truth about your future. There is the truth about your business. There is the truth about your friendship, relationship. The job of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into all truth. Believe it or not, there is the truth about the devil. All right? And the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth regarding the devil. All right? It is the job of the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Why is that important? Because truth sets free. All right? The Bible says, you know, you will know the truth. John chapter number 8, verse 32. And the truth that you know is going to make you free. All right? The truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth makes you free. The job of the Holy Spirit is to guide you into the truth, meaning that until you are guided by the Spirit into the truth regarding that subject, you remain in bondage. Meaning that until you are guided by the Spirit into the truth regarding that subject, you remain in darkness. And that's why it is possible to be a believer and still be in bondage in certain areas of life, because we have refused to engage with the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth regarding that aspect of life. All right? So it's the job of the Holy Spirit to guide you into the truth. And as a guide, he leads. You know, he leads. He doesn't drag you into the truth. He leads you into the truth. He guides you into it. And so that's Jesus is telling them, you know, I'm going to send this person. He's a great guide. And of course, as soon as Jesus mentioned that, the disciples knew exactly what he was talking about. He's going to guide you, like the guide that guides people into the place where they intend to go and takes them through the route that is safe and that is going to be beneficial to them. The person of the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into the truth. There is a truth about everything. And until you discover that truth, you will be in bondage. It's like the story of Peter. You know, Peter followed Jesus all through the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. But there is the truth regarding the Gentiles. By Gentiles, I mean the non-Jews, that Peter did not know. All right? And he struggled with that until when he got to Acts chapter number 10. And the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, was able to guide him into the truth regarding the Gentiles. For the first time, he actually recognized that, hey, truly, Jesus actually came to die, not just for the Jews, but for also the Gentiles. And I'm talking about the story of Cornelius. You know, we don't have time to go into the details. But up till that time, Peter did not know that God had a plan for the non-Jews until he was directed by the Spirit, you know, into the Cornelius house. And then as he was speaking to them, the Holy Spirit came. It was almost like the Holy Spirit took over from him. And then he realized, oh, so God actually has a plan for those people. Until that time, he was in bondage regarding, you know, the program, the salvation program of God for those people. The point I'm making, people of God, is this. There is the truth regarding all the situations and circumstances in life, including the ones you are in right now. And until you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you to the truth regarding that, you struggle. Now we have the privilege as pastors of being able to counsel a lot of people. And oftentimes we have, you know, a counseling session with people that are having some struggles with their marriage. Now, the truth of the matter is there is the truth of God regarding the marriage. And until you are actually guided as a couple into that truth, you will struggle. Even though you are believers, even though you are children of God, you will struggle. All right? And so it is important to recognize what is the truth. What is the truth of God regarding this situation? What does that mean? The truth of God is just God's position regarding it. All right? What's God's position regarding this situation? And the Holy Spirit guides you into it. And this is the truth you cannot find on your own. All right? No amount of books will get you to know the truth. All right? I'm not discouraging you to read, but no amount of, you know, of research, you know. You actually have people who actually research themselves away from the truth. It's sad. You know, the other time, somebody was mentioning, oh, I've been reading these books, and I've been finding, I've been looking for God. And then the more he reads, the more he actually goes away from God. All right? Because the truth is only found when you are taken, led by the Spirit. All right, we've established that. The question is this: how does the Holy Spirit provide this guidance? How does the Holy Spirit provide this guidance? Now, I want you to pay attention, because this is more like a Bible study of some sort, because I want you to participate in this. And we're going to read from verse number 13. Now, as we're going through verse number 13, I'm going to be mentioning certain words. And I'm going to be mentioning those words twice, and then we're going to come back to them. I'm mentioning them because they are important, because we're coming back to them. All right? So we're in verse number 13 now. John chapter 16 and verse 13. How does the Holy Spirit provide this guidance? We have established it guides people. How does it provide the guidance? However, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak, all right, on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. He will speak, all right. And he will tell. And he will tell you things to come. Are you noting it? Verse 14. Somebody say, what is he doing? All right, we'll come back. Verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All right. Verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, what are those words that I mentioned twice? Anyone? Speak. Tell. Did you say God? Declare. All right. Speak. Fantastic students. All right, I'm impressed. Speak, tell, declare. Speak, tell, declare. So how does the Holy Spirit provide this guidance? By speaking, by telling, by declaring. Stop. What does it mean to speak or tell? Straightforward. We know that what it means to speak, you know. Virtually everyone has spoken to someone this morning. In fact, some people have spoken the part that they ought to have said the entire week, just in the last few hours. You know, so you know what speaking means. You know what telling means. What does it mean to declare? According to the Cambridge English Dictionary, it means to announce something clearly, firmly, publicly and officially. It means to announce something, all right? Declare also means to say something in a solemn and emphatic manner. So how does the Holy Spirit guide us? He guides us by what? Speaking. He guides us by speaking, by telling. That's the only way the Holy Spirit guides you. By declaring. That's the way the Holy Spirit guides you. All right? He guides us through life, through the jungle of life, by speaking to us, by talking to us, by declaring to us. He guides us through, you know, to navigate the new kingdom that we have been brought into. Because this is when you got born again, you were birthed, as it were, into a new kingdom. You have never been there before. So the Holy Spirit guides you to understand the mystery of the kingdom and to understand the privileges and the responsibilities of the kingdom by speaking to you, by declaring to you, by telling you. Now, this is, in fact, what makes the Holy Spirit to be an advantage to us. You know, it's what gives us the said advantage in life. Otherwise, we would just be like any other person. It's the Holy Spirit in our life and the ability of the Holy Spirit to guide us through speaking, telling, and declaring. That's what gives us an advantage, people of God. All right. Now, you know, it's like asking, you know, what's the difference between a compass and a GPS, the navigation system in your car? You know, I have a car that have both, you know. But I don't think I've ever paid attention to the compass in my car. It tells you northeast, southwest, north, you know, that's what it shows, the direction of my car. But if I were to follow that, I don't even bother because that doesn't help me. But what I follow is the GPS. And the reason why I follow the GPS is because he speaks to me. He talks to me. I love that. I know there is that one that just shows you the map and you are driving and you are doing like this. No, that's dangerous, you know. But most cars these days, they speak to you. You know, the one on your phone, it speaks to you. You know, it tells you 100 meters, turn right, turn left. When through the third opening or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. It speaks to you. So that's the way the Holy Spirit guides you. Guides you into all truth by speaking. Now, question. How exactly does he do this speaking? You know, number two, if he is actually speaking, now we have established he's a speaking, communicating spirit, and he's in me, how come I don't hear him? Those are two questions. And I want you to pay attention. We're getting to the point where, like I said, the purpose of this teaching is to help you to use it in your daily life experience. It's not so that you can write, you know, just have a knowledge. Oh, there is the Holy Spirit. No. It must have an impact on your life. All right. So how exactly does he speak? Is his voice loud or soft? Is it low or high pitched? You know, and then the second question. So we have established he's a speaking spirit. He's a communicating spirit. How come I don't hear him speak? And I know you don't want to raise up your hand, but there are people here, and I dare say many of us here, who have this issue with understanding or hearing the Holy Spirit. Because when people say, and the Lord said to me, say, oh, here they go again, you know, because you don't know how to hear it. Now, I'm not going to be able to answer the second question today, but I will try and deal with the first. How does the Holy Spirit speak? How exactly does he speak to you? And let me say this right from the outset. Now, I don't want to make it look like once I teach about this morning, then that's all you need to know. About exactly how the Holy Spirit speaks. I don't mean to make it, you know, to be that simplistic, you know. All I can say, it's like swimming. No matter how much you are taught in class, until you actually get into the water, you are not a swimmer, all right? you will actually learn more when you get into the water. But it's good to be taught exactly, you know, what you do when you get into the water. But if you stop with that, it's not going to do you any good. So the point I'm making is this is to kickstart that experience. And I hope it does. You know, the other time I was, I was by the poolside in our house, and one of my girls said, oh, come into the water. I'm going to show you how you float. I said, tell me how you float in the water, you know, because they've observed me sinking a few times before. So, okay, say, oh, when you get into the water, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and you're going to do that. And she said all of that, all right? But for me to prove and to demonstrate that I now know how to do it, I need to get into the water. Don't ask me whether I did. I didn't. Okay, all right. So the teaching, what I'm sharing with you this morning is just to let you know what happens when you get into the water. But for you to actually experience it, you need to get into the water and to the pool of life and guided by the Spirit right in the pool. Okay, I've only established that. We know generally that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through His Word. We know that, all right? The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God, okay? And that's why Jesus said he's not going to say anything of His own authority. Whatever He's going to say is going to be what comes from Me, all right? So if you're going to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, the Word must be paramount. It must be important to you, all right? I hear people say, Holy Spirit, you need to lead me, and they have they don't value the Word. No, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you outside of the Word of God. So that's in a general sense. Okay? For instance, the Holy Spirit is not going to ask anyone. Let me look for one very extreme example. You know, it's not going to ask you, for instance, to go and take the second wife. All right? If you say, I think the Spirit is leading. No, that's not the Spirit leading you. All right, it will never, because it's contrary to the Word. Or the Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into what they refer to as open relationship. You know, if you don't know what that means, see me after the service. All right. So it's just a plot from hell for anyone to think that there is any health in that whatsoever way. And it will surprise you that there are people who claim to be believers who think that that's okay. All right. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into that. Just like the devil will never lead you to go and preach the gospel. You know, you can't say, I'm not sure whether you had the prompting of the Holy Spirit to go and speak the gospel to someone. And you say, I don't know whether this is God or the devil. No, it can't be the devil. The devil cannot tell you to go and preach to someone. You know, all right. So we have established that generally the Holy Spirit leads through the Word. Now, but in specific times, because I want to make it as practical as possible, what does it feel like when the Holy Spirit speaks to you? All right. How does the Holy Spirit speak? What does it feel like? He speaks in a way by making an impression. That's the way I would describe it. It makes an impression on your heart. Now that impression is strong, it's persistent, it's not easy to shake off, and it has a clear-cut direction. It's specific. That's the way the Holy Spirit leads. He speaks, it makes that impression to come upon your heart in a very strong way. It stays in there, it's persistent, it's not easy for you to shake off. And it has a clear-cut direction. It's not vague. In other words, you know exactly what He wants you to do. Now, the question is whether you're going to do it or not. You know, exactly what He wants you to do. You know, this kind of a strong impression is what I believe He's talking about when He says He bears witness. So somebody says, so are you talking specifically about gut feeling? Or Pastor, you're talking about, you know, intuition. Now, listen to me, people of God. There is nothing wrong about God feeling. There's nothing wrong about intuition, you know. I mean, those things come by experience. You have a God feeling that somebody is telling you a lie, all right? And you eventually find out that what they told you was actually a lie. But that's not what I'm talking about, you know. And the difference is that because God feeling and intuition, they come by reason of experience. the experience you have had with this person or with some other people. All right? That's why you are having that, oh, no, I don't think he's telling me the truth. All right? But what I'm talking about today is not just based on previous experience you have had with people, with them, the people that are telling you the things, or other people generally. It's not. It's based on a person making an impression in your heart. The person is making an impression in your heart. Now, somebody says, so how do I know the difference, whether this is actually just me speaking or the Holy Spirit making this strong impression? This is exactly what I mean when I said you need to get into the water, all right? Because this one now comes by reason of training. It comes by reason of experience, you know, by reason of use. This is what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 5, talking about the reason of use. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 14. It says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So this is talking about, you know, you're exercising your senses. And that comes when you get into the water, when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you and you begin to act and begin to see what result comes out of it. But it's a strong impression. It is an impression in your heart that you know, that you know, that you know that this is not just, it's not just going to be fleeting. It's not going to disappear, in the next moment. It's not going to leave you alone, all right? And it just stays there. And of course, like I said, the ground norm is that it is consistent with the Word of God. It is not against the Word of God. That is the way the Holy Spirit speaks. For most of us, we are not going to hear any voice, as in clear voice like you are hearing me now, in your ear. There are certain experiences, but it's the exception, not the rule. It is going to be an impression in your heart that bears witness. You know, that bears witness and is in line with the Word of God. I remember years ago, there was something that I believed that the Lord was saying to me, and I was sharing with a brother, and I said, you know, I believe the Lord is talking to me about this thing. And the brother is also a believer, and he said, oh, how do you know? I said, look, I know the way, I just know. I know this is the Holy Spirit talking to me. It is, this impression is so strong, is so undeniable. I can't say I did not understand it. Now, but that happened because I've had some time in my life in the past to prove it, to see it. And so I've been able to discern this is the Lord speaking to me. Now, we'll get into some of these things maybe next week or so. But the point I want to make is there is this impression that comes in your heart that stays in there. The Lord bears witness. That's what the Bible says. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness. All right, did you see that one? Bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It bears, just keep it up, thank you. It bears witness with our spirit. Somebody says, so how do you know that you are a child of God? I just know. How do you know? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness. What does that mean? There is an affirmation. There is an affirmation in my spirit that confirms that I'm a child of God. All right? There is an affirmation in my spirit that it's like somebody is testifying. It's a testimony. Do you have the Amplified or not? Do you have the Amplified? Okay, please put it up. The Spirit himself thus testifies together with our spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. How does it do that? It bears witness. It testifies. It makes it this indelible, strong impression in our heart, making us assured that we are children of God. So when you begin to go through this training, you know, with the Holy Spirit, you begin to now have your senses exercised to know, hey, this is the Holy Spirit talking to me. This is not my flesh. This is definitely not the devil talking to me. So this is what happens. Now, but talking about this impression, this strong impression, it is not always in the positive sense. No, let me rephrase that. It is not always to urge us on. Sometimes it is actually for us to apply a brake. All right? It is not always to urge us on. Sometimes you have what they call a restraint in your spirit. A restraint in your spirit. You know, what I'm discussing with you is something that you can experience if you have not experienced it. But you will never experience it until you actually jump into the water and allow the Holy Spirit to take you through. All right? What I'm sharing is just to is to jump start your interest. That there is no way you will continue to live as a believer and not desire to be led by the Spirit and be guided by Him. Because that's your advantage. That's the only thing that separates you from the people of the world. And it's given to us to provide this guidance. Like I said, it's not just to confirm that, yeah, that's the right direction. That's the place to go. You know, some people are always, they sit down on the spot, and I say, I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me something. You know, I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me something. Now, why that sounds, you know, why that sounds good in the sense of you need to be patient with the Spirit, but unfortunately, these are people that have never even learned how the Holy Spirit speaks. So when He speaks, how will you know? Because sometimes you need to take the step of faith and then you are going to get a confirmation. Yes, that's the way to go. All right? It's just like the GPS. I'm using that a lot today, you know. The other time I pressed the address of where I was going and I was in my car park and I was wondering, why is this guy not talking to me? Why is he not talking? And then I got angry, so I decided to start moving. And then I just only moved about 50 meters, and he said, then you turn in 20 meters, turn left. Oh, so you can talk. So there was no talking because I was not moving. Are you getting what I'm talking about? But once I started to move, and the GPS is confident that this guy will listen to me, no, just kidding. You know, it's not confident. Sometimes he says, go to right. I said, no, you don't know what you're saying. But there has to be a willingness and a desire to move. Sometimes there has to actually be a moving in the direction that you think based on the word, because your mind is renewed by the word that this is the direction to go. And then the Holy Spirit will begin to give specifics about that. How? By confirming it, assuring that, yes, that's the way to go. Like I said, sometimes it actually puts a brake. It restrains you. You know, it restrains you from doing it. Say, no, stop. There is an experience that Paul the Apostle had. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 7. In their missionary journey, they were going to do something. They were going to go somewhere. And this is what the Bible says. And they had come to Mysia. They tried to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit did not permit them. The Spirit restrained them. Now, this must be somebody who has now been used by reason of by the reason of the training to know when the Holy Spirit says no. You just know. You just feel a restraint. It's almost like a pull, a kind of a break in your spirit. In your spirit. You know, you don't just feel like you had planned. The other time I was sharing with you, I wanted to actually have a conversation about something that was taking place at my place of work, and I already told the manager, I'm going to have a meeting with you at 11 o'clock. And as soon as I stepped out of our office, before I moved, I just felt a restraint in my spirit. And I knew, no, that's not the way to go. I wasn't going to have that meeting. Now, it's a beautiful experience, people of God. It is a beautiful experience, and come to think about it. Move closer. Let me tell you something. It is an experience that every one of us ought to have, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's not just supposed to be for pastors who put on suit on Sunday and talk to you. It is for every single one of us to have that experience. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience. But until you actually jump into the water, and what do I mean by that? I close with this. Because I'm so excited about this subject that I can go on and on and on. Not just because I'm excited that I'm able to teach it, but because I'm excited about it, the result of it, if you only will get it right. The result is great. many of the heartaches and the troubles that we find ourselves in is simply because we have not been led by this, guided by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're having that issue with us. I'll close with this, people of God. All right? Learn this. This training that I talk about begins with a desire. It begins with a desire in your heart. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to guide me. And then, how does it begin? Then you begin to kickstart that desire. The only way we know that you have actually started desiring is you begin to immerse yourself in the Word of God. You begin to take the Word of God seriously, as in consume the Word of God. Consume the Word of God. Because His leading is never going to be against this. It's going to be in line with this. No, it's not going to say to you, it may not necessarily tell you, okay, stand up now and go to Jericho. Because Jericho is not here, all right? But it will be able to guide you exactly using the same principle of guidance that is revealed in His Word. I just want you to get excited and to be, and at the same time, I want you to get angry. Angry, you know, in a positive way, that what's wrong with me as a believer? Why am I not getting the leading of the Holy Spirit? And then it begins to lead you. And the training is a training in the sense that, you know, it tells you, you think that this is the Holy Spirit telling you to go this way. And as soon as you step into that direction, you immediately lose your peace. And say, oh, no. It means that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit leading me. Okay, I got it wrong this time. The reason why I'm saying that is, it is okay to get it wrong, because it's a training. And it is better for you to get it wrong in the minute things of life than to get it wrong in the big things. And the reason why I'm challenging you to start getting to know the voice of the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day activities is that if you get to know it in the day-to-day activities, Lord, is it time for me to now go? Should I go to the shop now? Maybe I should delay it to later. To some of you, it's inconsequential, but that's how to learn it. So when you learn when to go to the shops or not, then you will learn when to take up the job next time it appears. It's a training. And this time, if you got it wrong, then you know, oh, the feeling I had, the impression that I thought I had was not the Holy Spirit. Until you step into it and start asking questions, you never get it. Some of us are waiting until the time that we're going to get the Holy Spirit actually speak loudly and clearly, just like you are hearing my word. It may not happen. It's very unlikely that it will happen, because very few people have that experience. I'm challenging you, people of God. It's a beautiful experience, but the place to start, can you please start consuming this? The more you load your heart with this, the more your heart gets prepared for the Holy Spirit to begin to, if you want to use the word, move around. I don't want to use the word manipulate, because that's not of God, but it begins to control, you know, direct, because the word is in there. It's a beautiful experience. It is an experience that all of us can have. And I challenge you to start in that direction today. It's a strong impression that you have in your heart. It's not in contradiction to the Word of God. And it will lead you into a great place. Let us pray.